Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
If you build it, you will come.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the soul. The small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days.
Oh, I will make you no promises save one. That if you truly believe in your heart that you are free, then I say we can win.
If someone's willing to swap his life for a kill, and nothing can stop them,
right, John? Great. What do I need you for?
I might get me instead.
This is Eloise. She's my granddaughter. My wife and I raised her after my daughter died.
Bye, Papa.
Then life threw us a curve, and now her grandmother's gone, too.
She has a father.
You live in a blind spot when it comes to your son. He's a junkie.
And you're a drunk.
Okay, thank you.
Run on home, fill your bathtub with whiskey, and just soak in it. Have yourself an old drunk man's bubble bath.
Got it.
Good.
Dreamy alert.
I just don't want to say anything to embarrass myself.
I don't think I've been nervous before.
We're working ourselves up into a tizzy now.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Somebody has to break the ice and say something kind of stupid to take the pressure off.
Like what? Oh, then that'll be you.
I got it.
Al.
Act cool. Act cool.
Al,
here we go.
Don't. If you ask him to compare his butt to anybody else, I'm going to be so mad at you.
All right, act cool.
I got this. I got this.
On the phone with us.
Oh, my God.
Academy Award winning.
You can't even say it.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm so nervous
it's
right
Academy
now.
Academy Award winning.
Uh-huh. Director.
I love
He's
him.
Also an actor.
Oh,
he's made us cry. He made me cry in Field of Dreams. Made Al cry in The Bodyguard. Made everybody cry.
You guys are crying right now.
Well, y'all let the man talk.
You guys better quit ganging up on me.
Oh, my God. It's
Kevin Costner.
Hi, Kevin Costner.
Good morning.
Hey,
Mr. Costner. Whoever scheduled this with you to be on the phone was doing a smart thing. I don't think I could survive interviewing you face-to-face.
You made him laugh.
That was a courtesy laugh, Kelly. Weird.
Mr. Costner, I even get nervous when I shop in your store, Costco.
Oh, that was lame.
You can start off by just saying Kevin. That'll make me feel a little better, too.
All right. Kevin, you're calling in to... I can call him Kevin.
Ice is broken now.
You're calling in to promote your new movie, Black or White.
Yeah, well, I made it for people. I made it for you, you know, in your own way. I know you're talking to a big audience, but, you know, when you make a movie, you get a chance to talk to somebody in the dark and tell them a story about maybe the moments, you know, you're living in right now. Because I've certainly made movies about, you know, pitching perfect games and riding with the buffalo and romantic comedies, political thriller. I've done all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get to make a movie about the moments we're swirling in right now, and that's what Black or White is.
Well, Black or White and the swirl. I mean, you summed it all up right there.
We're Black and White in here. Kevin, what draws you to this race relations kind of movie so much?
Well, it's not that I was drawn to it. When I read it, I couldn't ignore it. And because that's what we have in our life. We can't ignore the stuff that's right in front of our face. And, you know, I couldn't ignore Field of Dreams when I read it. I just couldn't. I looked at it and somebody goes, you know, well, I'm going to go make this big superhero movie. I go, well, I'm going to go make this movie about these dead guys coming out of corn.
Yeah.
So, here I am 25 years later, and, you know, these super movies are still being made. And I go, I'm going to go make this movie about that deals with race.
That's
and
great.
That's kind of how I've done things. I know it's not conventional, but... You know, I fell in love with the movie, and just because, you know, studios didn't, that doesn't mean I have to fall out of love with it.
How does that conversation with your wife go, if you even have to ask permission, when you say, hey, honey, I'm going to take $9 million of our money and put it into this movie?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to do that. I felt that the other people should be, you know, supporting this movie. But at the end of the day, I did make that walk down the hall, and she looked at me and she said, look, you know, are you hearing voices in the cornfield? Really? Really us? We're supposed to do this? And but she didn't do that with me. She said, look, I get you. I mean, I knew this is who you were, and I know this is how you feel sometimes. I don't do this a lot, but when I do feel like something's speaking for me, I feel like it has a chance to speak for a lot of people. And I said, that's what we're going to do.
I'll tell you, Kevin, my daughter is 8 years old, and from the first time she saw the commercial, I mean, the commercial's been playing for a month or two on TV. She really wants to go see it, but I feel like it's PG-13. I don't know if I should go see it first to make sure it's age appropriate, but I can just ask you, is it age appropriate for an 8-year-old girl?
I do. Well, I can't speak for you. I really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know your daughter. You know what she's capable of. But I tell you what, it is for you, and you're going to know if it is for her. And I do hope that you go see it, because things get said in this movie that I think everybody listening wishes they would have got a chance to say in their life, because this race is something that, you know, is we're dealing with. You know, I mean, listen, I make a movie where I'm in the bathtub with Sarandon, and every guy thinks, "Jesus, I'd like to be in that movie."
Mm-hmm.
well, and Black or White, I say some stuff in the courtroom. Octavia says some stuff out in the driveway to her son that I think everybody in America is going to go, "I wished I would have said that."
And what we haven't, Kelly has a she has a biracial daughter, and I have biracial kids. We think Al,
I date white girls.
Yeah, he may have a couple. Of years.
We're not sure about Al.
So, I mean, this is something that it's common now, but people still don't talk about it. And you finally made a movie about it.
Yeah, well, that's what you're gonna see your life splayed out right in front of you, and it's it was, you might have the feeling that I have, which is, God, I'm really glad I went to see this, and I'm kind of, you know, sitting here going, I'm really glad now that I made it, based on the phone calls I'm having from people around the country going, you know, this movie, honest to God, it got so far under my skin, I can't even begin to tell you. The one thing that they end up saying, though, which is they didn't realize they were going to laugh so much.
Well, that's good to know, because it's deep subject matter, and if you can't address it with a little, you know, laugh here and there, it takes some of the tension out of it.
No, they laugh a lot. That's what's surprising. And I think then you come out and you know if you want your 8-year-old to see it, but there's an 8-year-old in it. And that's a, you know, she's just marvelous. It's just, listen, this, you know, I celebrated the 25th year of Field of Dreams. Not a single person bet on that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we'll be talking about Black or White 25 years from now, because it doesn't pull a single punch.
Have you made a bad movie?
Yeah, I have.
What was it? What was it, Mr. Costner?
I'm not going to talk about what it is, but I never started a movie I thought I thought it was going to be bad.
Right.
I always think they have a chance to be great. So.
Nobody goes into it thinking it's not going to work.
Speaking of the little girl that starred in the movie with you, Jillian Estelle, the 8-year-old girl, she's 10 now, but she had no idea who you were when she got cast in the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, my children don't even know what I do. you know, they think I live in a trailer. You know, where's Daddy going? Well, he's going to work. They come to see me sometimes. I'm in a trailer, so that's what they think.
They think you're at the trailer park.
So if you got a young actor like her coming in to do a movie with you, and you want her to get acclimated with what you've done in the past, what movie would you tell her to go to watch?
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Oh my God! You know, Billy Chappell and for Love of the Game. You know, my character in Open Range. I don't know. You know, it could be Crash Davis, really.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of fun making the movies I've been able to do, and I make them for men and I make them for women, and I make them for their kids when they're old enough.
Oh, Big Al just wants you to be that guy from The Bodyguard. He still,
dude,
every time
Kevin,
that movie comes on, he tells us he saw it on cable and he cries.
I'm in Mexico, Kevin, and I'm on a couch with my buddy. Two guys, all right? We're flipping through the channels in Mexico. Bodyguard is on. We sit down there, and it never fails. The door opens up on the plane. She says, "Wait!" And then she runs out in your arm, and no!
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't help. I'll start crying right now. Listen, just telling you.
You know, I kissed her once for everybody in America, and I kissed her once really good for just me.
I know this is such a random question, but I do wonder with, you know, actors like you that have had such a long career, and I can't turn on the TV most days without seeing a Kevin Costner movie on. Mm-hmm. I mean, The Bodyguard is one of those, Dances with Wolves, of course, that I just can't turn away from when it's on, even though I've seen them. When you're doing that and you're flipping through channels and you see one of your own movies, do you watch your own movies on television?
No, you can't?
I don't. I watch them as when my children say they want to see one.
Kevin, can I ask you a dude question?
Yeah.
In draft day, you played the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. Would you have drafted Johnny Manziel?
Excellent question, Jason.
Right?
Really, I was wondering that, you know?
Yeah, we'll hang up and listen. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I don't think I would have, but I do like watching him play, and I love watching him play in college. But he's in a very interesting moment in his career right now, and guess what?
What?
Johnny's going to decide who he's going to be. In the world of sports, Johnny has a chance, and that's all we want in America, right?
Yeah.
And it's in front of him right now, and it's not easy. You know, I put myself in places all the time where I wonder, why did I try so hard to put myself in a place where I could fail so badly?
Mm.
You know, and I thought that with Black or White. I said, you know, why don't I go make one of these movies that everybody else thinks they should be making? I go, no, I'm going to make this movie. because this movie speaks out loud to all the guys I know in the world and all the women I've met in the world. This is a movie that kind of makes sense to me, and I know it's going to make sense to them, because we struggle with this thing called race. We sometimes don't even know ourselves what to say.
Yeah.
But this movie does.
Well, it's a must-watch list for me, black or white.
In theaters now. You can go right now to the theater and watch the movie. Kevin Costner, I speak for all of us when I say it was an honor to speak with you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kevin Costner.
Thanks very much.
Have a great day.
I'll continue to shop at Costner
Co. Stop it. Don't.
He's gone. He hung up when I said it was a pleasure.
Click.
And he said, thanks.
Click and move on.
Kelly, Al, JC, and Jenna are back. The Kid Kranick Morning Show.
Bad news.
What?
Shortly after we hung up the phone with Kevin Costner, a walker broke into the studio. And one of us is gone.
Who?
Well, we need to find out who it was, Kelly Raspberry. Jessica Hasbrook will let us know who was eaten. Hi, Jessica. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. We have two screw-ups 2 days in a row so far with this skit, so that's great. Whose brains were eaten?
Oh, Big Al Mac's brains were eaten.
How is that even possible?
Because he just talked. Isn't it weird?
How is that even possible?
I feel like he'd be
How
rejected.
Would the zombie find it?
Two days in a row.
The zombie would reject him.
2 days in a row. I guarantee you that walker's still hungry because he didn't get much to eat.
Well, Jessica.
That was so mean.
Oh, honey. You don't even know.
Come work with him.
Well, Jessica, this is exciting for you because you're going to get to go to that star-studded season 6 premiere of The Walking Dead with a friend. I don't know. Who are you going to take?
My husband.
Aw, he's the best
Aww.
Friend you could take.
Oh,
anyway,
yes.
You're going to get airfare, hotel, and tickets to this special welcome party for all the winners, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
I can't wait. We're excited for you.
Yeah, pack them bags.
That is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. Al, you're amazing.
I have, never been able to... I've called in so many times for different things. This is the first time I've ever even gotten through. This is incredible.
This is a good one, then.
Yeah, this is one of the best trips we give away. So you have fun, Jessica. You take your husband, meet all the walkers, take some pictures, let us know how it goes, okay?
Oh, yeah, please let us know how
it
goes.
Thank you. Oh, definitely. I totally will. Thank you so much.
All right, hold on the line for us, Jessica. Have a great day.
I love it when listeners, sometimes they do, and I understand people get busy, but when you win something, send us some pictures. I want to see how it
went.
It's
cool, because we don't get to go
to the ride.
Now, Al, why'd you talk there when you were supposed to have been gone?
You said you had some bad news. I wanted to know what it was.
What? What happened?
It was more of a universal question for everybody.
See, Al can't handle silence.
Now, Al, you
ever been to a black church? That's what we do. Go
Not
ahead.
When your brains got eaten.
Well.
That's the one stereotype you try to live up to.
Sure enough. Talk. All right, here we go.
Now, Al, you got some player tips for us?
I do. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day is coming up. And I need to give my players, my single guys, some tips on Valentine's Day, all right?
Okay.
So since there are no players, single guy, I'm in a relationship, you're married, obviously, I'm going to call Trey into the studio so I can actually bless him with this knowledge,
all
right?
Is he playing?
We have...
Trey's
he's
a
not
player?
Playing. He's a player.
Look at the guy.
Trey, are you...
he doesn't even comb his hair.
I don't even know if he has a bed.
Hold on, let's turn on his mic.
How's it going, ladies? What's up?
Look at that. That's a dude.
Yeah, come on.
That's a player right there.
We've dubbed Trey the player of the office.
Double-digit women are in my life right now.
What did you do to prepare for your day when you rolled out of bed this morning?
I put on the same hoodie that I've put on for the past 4 months every single day. That's about it.
You got to give Trey a break because he wakes up super early because he's got to come in here and edit all this audio for us before the show.
Yeah, if I were you, I would just sleep in it so you don't even have to get dressed in the morning.
You know what?
New idea.
That is a brilliant idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Plus, he's so tired from playing.
Exactly. I've got all these women in my life that I'm just trying to Mac on.
Should we use
the term Mac still?
Yeah,
we still use Mac. Okay, cool.
You tell us. You're the player.
Right. How old are you, Trey?
25.
This is prime. Okay, you need this knowledge right here that I'm
about to give. When was the last time you had a girlfriend?
It's been months.
Don't answer questions you don't need to answer, player.
Well, no. Players don't have girlfriends.
Exactly.
You got your main thing.
Since I had singular girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, since you... Okay, so you were monogamous.
Plural.
Yeah.
Okay. You might have your main thing and you have your side piece.
Uh-huh.
How did you blow that one? What went wrong?
Just differences.
differences in what, hygiene?
Okay, we're getting distracted. I'm trying to give Trey Valentine's Day tips. All right, these are Valentine's Day tips for players. Okay, Trey? First of all, girls are going to automatically think that we wait until the last minute to get them cards and candy. Because we do. But there's nothing wrong with that. Just because a dude buys his card before you doesn't mean he's more thoughtful. It just means he thought of it before you did. In fact, one benefit from waiting till last minute is it takes you much less time to find a perfect card because at the last minute, most of the other cards are gone. All right? That's tip number one.
More That's a tip or knowledge?
But what was the tip?
Wait till the last minute. Wait till the last minute to get your card. Oh,
no. I don't want to steal the segment, but can I give you a better tip?
Yes, please.
No!
Because clearly Al lost his player card.
So the cards are all taken by the time you get there at 5 o'clock on Valentine's Day. Handwrite a note.
Oh, Trey. Smart man.
And then, I've just been thinking about this for weeks and just what I really wanted to say and put down with a pen from my own personal hand, not something that Hallmark wrote.
That's a player move.
If
you know why?
No.
Because it'll touch her where it'll, her heart, and it's free.
Exactly.
And it's not traditional.
This is not Trey's tips.
His are better.
If I may, Big Al, just witnessing what just went on here, while you were speaking, Kelly was rolling her eyes. And then when Trey spoke, she was into it.
You know what? Kelly rolls her eyes every time I speak. Okay. So that's nothing new.
Okay, Al's player's tip for Valentine's Day. He just got outplayed.
Okay. All right,
yes,
here we go.
Did.
Here's tip number two.
Player got played.
Tip number two.
I recommend that you get the envelope dirty as you're leaving the drugstore on February 14th to make it look like you've had it for days.
One way doesn't matter because you're going to write a handwritten note.
Would you
skip to tip three?
And if Trey touches anything, it's going to be dirty.
So you want to dirty up the envelope so it looks like you didn't care and just threw it on the ground?
Right, that's what girls love.
Run over it with your car tires.
Or Trey, what could you do to the envelope?
Just a footprint on it as you're walking out of the store. Write her name on the envelope. Not her name, but the nickname that you've given just for her.
Yeah, and spray it with cologne.
No.
Spray it with cologne, Jenna.
You gotta write baby on the envelope just in case you mix up and have to give it to another girl. You need to write baby.
Okay. So far, the guy you're giving tips to is out tipping you.
Spray it with cologne, for sure.
Now, tip number three. Order your flowers now and have them delivered next Monday or Tuesday. That's going to give you the jump on every other dude, and it's going to also save you about $40, $50 because they jack the prices up on Valentine's Day.
But they're going to die.
But then they're going to be dead by Valentine's Day.
Right? That gets you early nookie right there. Yeah.
The only thing that I've ever actually done is I will go to the flower delivery people. They always have trouble getting the volume out that they want. So you can go up to a delivery guy that is walking like to deliver flowers and be like, yo, dude, I'll give you $50 for those. And they'll give you those flowers.
Oh,
so you just hijack the flowers. I'm telling you.
You're hijacking somebody's
flowers? Then they can just say, oh, yeah, we just ran out of time. We weren't able to make enough enough runs.
That's
and
a player move right there.
That's not a good player move,
not
Trey.
A good move. Okay. Now,
you're 0-4. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. If you have a side piece, take her out this Saturday, commonly referred to as Side Piece Saturday. It's a national holiday recognized by players all across the country.
No.
Now, with that in mind, lay the groundwork now with her that you're going to have the kids on Valentine's Day, a business trip, flag football game, a rectal exam, something, so she's not looking for you on Valentine's Day. All right?
Yeah. What's your side piece's name, Al?
Number five, final tip. Now, if you are taking your side piece out early, as a good player should, either take your homeboy's car, rent a car, or public transportation. Do not risk the side piece pre-holiday setup. This is when your side piece gets in your car, and then when she gets out, she leaves what is commonly known as HR, hoochie residue, in the car for your real woman to find. She'll leave some hair, lipstick, maxi pad, whatever.
Hair? A maxi?
Something.
What?
Maxi
Something.
Pad?
Ruining your real Valentine's Day with your main girl.
First of all, who brings the maxi pad on a date?
I was going to ask if I could borrow one of your 12 cars, but I don't want the one that had a maxi pad just chilling
in either.
I'm just saying. Don't risk
I would like to substitute
who
your
are
tip.
You going
don't
who,
risk
you,
it.
I feel bad. Your side piece.
A real man doesn't have a side piece, Al.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Does. Trey, does a real man have a side piece?
Yeah, he does. He can't tell people he got a side piece.
Yeah, you got to keep things secret. Play
you
close
guys,
to the vest.
Come on, a player would say, all my ladies are equal. Right?
No, so, he would.
A real man is faithful to the woman he's chosen. A player has many men. So don't sit there and say a real man has a side
piece. A real man can be a player?
No. A real man has morals and standards.
A real man does not have a side piece.
How do you have a girlfriend?
A
player is insecure.
You're disgusting.
That's why he's a player. He's insecure. He's not a real man.
I've had my player days. My player days are long gone.
That's just because you tired.
Yeah. Long gone.
How do you have a girlfriend?
I have a girlfriend.
It's because you couldn't
cheat. Shocking.
Dr. Girlfriend.
Couldn't juggle it.
So for side piece Saturday, is Sunday. Let's say I have two side pieces, Saturday and Sunday.
And Sunday, yeah.
Can make it both?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Jenna Saturday, Kelly Sunday?
Wait, do I get the Lord's Day?
You know Kelly wants the Lord's Day.
Yeah, she does. You get it right after church.
Yeah, I'll take it first because you know he's not showering in between.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Oh, yeah. What are you waiting for?
I don't know
what a lot of women are waiting for.
What?
That 50 Shades of Grey movie. Coming out on Valentine's Day. Is that really right? Because Valentine's Day is on a Saturday. Are they really waiting and holding the release till a Saturday?
I guess.
I'll tell you what we've done.
What have we done?
We have gotten an entire theater that is willing to let us do an early screening of 50 Shades of Grey. Just for our women. We're listening right now, okay? It's going to be one theater on Thursday night before Thanksgiving, before Valentine's Day, right?
So a week from today.
Early screening.
But guess what? You got all these women, they're going to be so excited about this movie.
I was going to say, guys should line up outside the theater waiting.
But no, Jenna, this is just for our female listeners, because this is something we need to experience and share this moment. I mean, these scenes between Jamie Dornan and what's-her-face.
Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, her. They're going to be hot. And we're going to be all hot and bothered, right?
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we'd be easy pickings for all these men.
Sure.
Absolutely. Fish out of bird.
But imagine being the only man in that theater, surrounded by all these salivating, ready-to-go women.
We're looking for our own Christian Grey.
Heaven.
We're looking for one man.
Heaven.
One single
man. To join us in that audience.
Oh, yeah.
For that 50 Shades of Grey
screen.
It's
a lot of pressure.
How do I get in there, Kelly?
It could be, ultimately, the best night of your life.
Right?
But if you want to be that guy, you got to do something for us.
Uh-huh.
You got to go to kidnation.com.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You have to tell us about yourself.
Things like what?
We have. You know what? You could just write a novel. No, we don't want that. We've got a whole list of questions. Choose one of the questions from our list and answer it. And that's how we'll determine the lucky guy who gets to be the only guy in that theater for the screening of 50 Shades of Grey.
What kind of questions you ask?
How about, what's your idea of the perfect date?
Ooh.
How about, describe your relationship with your mother?
Mm. Oh.
How about, what size shoe do you wear?
Shannon just made a
KidNation.com. And, yeah, we're all about the superficial. You can tell who's on the judging committee right here.
Uh-huh.
You have to include your photo.
Make it sexy?
Make it sexy, man.
Okay.
Give us your best picture.
Okay.
Give us your best Christian gray face.
Shannon had a good point. What if every guy chooses the, what is your shoe size?
That's okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
We just get a bunch of emails with 11 and a half, 13.
So one guy in a theater full of women.
50 Shades of Gray.
All right.
He's going to get torn apart in there.
If he's lucky,
yes.
Does he have to be single?
Yes.
Yes.
We're looking for a single guy because this is a single guy's dream. This is a great opportunity for a single man.
What if he's just looking for a side piece?
Don't tell us you're in a relationship.
Hang out with Al.
Yeah.
I would love to be that guy.
Well, you're not.
You're not going to be Al.
You're not allowed to enter.
Because you're not single because you have a girlfriend.
Dr. Girlfriend!
All right.
I do.
Since we got all the dudes' attention.
Yeah.
I got turned on a little
Kelly,
bit just talking about it. My face is a little hot.
Oh, get ready to maybe get turned on some more, Kelly.
What's up?
Why? You going to talk football?
No, we're not talking football, but I was at the... I got to go to the Super Bowl party, to the DirecTV Super Bowl party. Rihanna performed there.
Uh-huh.
Kanye West showed up. Paul McCartney was supposed to be there. I didn't see him.
He'll be at the Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, Paul probably has to, you know, have a lighter schedule these days.
Yeah.
He's getting up there.
Yeah. I mean, he probably was like having the buffet and going to dinner.
Right. But I was out there covering it for Dish Nation.
Yeah.
Our TV show. DishNation.com if you want to check out what time it is. It's on in your city. So I was there, and all of a sudden I was approached by this guy named Duff Goldman.
Yeah.
He is in the Ace of Cakes show.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he apparently is a fan of our show.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me hit it right here.
You are my favorite.
No way, Duff.
I love this dude.
Really?
Yes.
Jason's like, who are you?
Where's Jenna?
Jenna, I didn't bring her,
she
man.
She's hilarious too, man. You two are ridiculous.
Duff Goldman likes me.
You guys are ridiculous.
I'm supposed to tell you I like you. You don't tell me you like me, Duff.
No, seriously, man. And who's the redhead?
Kelly Raspberry.
Dude, Kelly cracks me up, man. She is like, is she like crazy horny?
What?
Like horny. Oh. Like all she talks about is sex. Like all the time.
I'll tell you a secret, Duff. Yes.
That's awesome.
I could tell. She's got a little twinkle in her eye. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like a little.
It's been a while, Duff. You know, like bring her a cupcake or something.
All right.
Duff Goldman.
Oh my gosh, I used to watch Ace of Cakes all the time. He was the one that like really started that cake trend and all the celebrities. Do you remember he made this hair? I remember watching an episode. He was commissioned to make the Harry Potter cake.
Oh, he was?
He did those ridiculous cakes.
Yeah, he was a favorite on the red carpet because he walked in and everybody started going, oh, that's Duff. And he's not dressed up to go to the party. He's dressed in like camo pants and a sweatshirt and just a t-shirt. And everybody's out there in like their suit and tie.
Yeah.
And he's just walking
keeping
in there
real.
Like,
he's
keeping it real.
He's the celebrity cake guy. Oh, if he likes, I want to get him to make me a cake.
I asked him about that. He said, you can't afford him.
Oh.
Or at least I can't afford him.
Do you have the one of Gordon?
Huh?
Gordon Ramsay.
Kelly's going for it.
Gordon Ramsay.
No, I didn't talk to Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, but remember what happened with Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, he loves you too.
We'll put that clip
come
up.
Come to find out.
Oh, what happened, Kelly?
What? Head Crack from Dish Nation. You were here, weren't you? Listen. Anyway, so Head Crack from Dish Nation is interviewing Gordon Ramsay and some people for that Junior Hell's Kitchen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Master Chef or
that something. Junior Master Chef
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, show right.
And he likes me.
Yeah, he asked, Headcrack asked them, because there was a panel of people that he asked, who's your celebrity crush that you'd want to, and what kind of date would you do? And Gordon Ramsay says, I would get oysters, and I would get wine, and I would serve it in bed. And then he goes, Kelly.
He said, where's that yeah. Kelly Raspberry?
Kelly
he said,
Raspberry.
The only reason he showed up was he thought I was like, oh my God, he's married though. Crap.
So now you got two guys that can cook that are all into
right?
you.
I'm so excited.
And you got your Tinder thing going. You're going three for three, girl.
Let me see if he's responded to my Tinder.
Oh, God. I don't think that's him.
We got to stop the show for a minute.
Well, you know, this Tinder is, I don't even understand. I don't get it.
Well, it's a good time to do it during the show.
Tinder, I like him. I've only liked like four. No, five. Wait, four.
Kelly
four.
Needs some male attention right now.
Tell me what happened. And you have to go through a lot of X's to get to the ones you want to like.
I know.
Swipe right. I just use the X and the heart, Jenna, because swiping, I get confused.
Okay.
So anyway, I like one guy. Apparently, he didn't like me back because it wasn't a match.
Well, there's going to be people that don't like you.
Yeah.
I was very hurt. Okay. I don't remember who he was, though, but he was cute.
All right.
So anyway, this one guy, he wrote me a note back two nights ago after I liked him. And then I didn't see it because I didn't know you were supposed to look for the little dot that he messaged you. So an hour later, I was like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't see your message. He hasn't messaged me back since. That was two nights ago now.
I'm
upset.
You need to consider.
So I missed the opportunity.
He probably found love already.
That you hopped off the Tinder train for months.
Yeah.
And that other people could be living life. Okay. And doing
and then there's this other one that I liked last night, but he hasn't messaged me. So that's probably good. That means he has a life and he's not on Tinder all the time like I am.
Right.
And then this other one that we've been actually kind of messaging back and forth a little bit.
Uh-oh. Date this weekend?
No.
Possible?
No.
And that's your Kelly Raspberry Tinder
that's my
update.
Tinder update.
Thank you, Kelly. Back to the red carpet.
All right, yes. Back to red carpet, Jason.
I also caught up with Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
He's not on Tinder.
He's not on Tinder.
But
he
does own sports.
Yeah, he owns sports.
Yes, he does.
He's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's also on Shark Tank. And I wanted to ask him about the worst ideas that he's heard on that TV show.
Okay.
Mark Cuban, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm doing great, Jesse. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Now, Mark, you got Shark Tank going on right now.
Yep.
What is the worst idea you've heard on that show? And don't worry about hurting people's feelings, because you do it all the time.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Jesse.
Waking bacon, this Rolodoc thing for email, taillight things where this guy took Velcro, and he took these blinking lights, and he attached it to his niece's pants and put it on their butts. It's called it taillights and asked them to shake around.
So
it was horrible. It was horrible. And I go to one of the nieces. I'm like, would you wear that on the date? And this is her uncle who's on national TV trying to make money. And she just all of a sudden just collapses and cries. So yeah, tail lights.
I agree with you on that one. How do they make it past producers to get in front of you guys?
You need some stupid stuff every now and then, right? Just to entertain and to keep us entertained. Because otherwise, we're sitting there for 12 hours a day just going it through deal after deal after deal. And it's just, it's a grind. So we need the stupid ones every now and then.
So if those were your ideas, sorry, they sucked.
I believe he's already told them that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we had a little fun with Mark Cuban's name as well. Yeah. Now, Mark, I'm JC Chavez. I'm from Mexico. You're Mark Cuban. How do you feel about the recent lift of the Cuban embargo?
I actually like it. I think it's really cool, right? A Cuban in Cuba.
Are you going to go down there?
Oh, hell yeah, I'm going to go down. I've always wanted to go, but you really couldn't. I mean, every time I ever go to Miami, everybody's like, are you? So now I'm going to go to Cuba, and I'm going to go hang out.
You can actually get Cubans legally now.
I can be a Cuban smoking a Cuban in Cuba.
Mark Cuban, everybody. When can we go down there?
I think we can go now.
We can go now, finally, right?
Let's go this afternoon.
I don't know. Is it
already? Been lifted.
I've heard it's a beautiful country.
I know. That's my girlfriend's motherland. That's where
what am I going to do in Cuba?
Eat a Cuban?
Yeah. What?
I can eat a Cuban here.
Smoke a Cuban.
Yeah, those sandwiches.
No, they have the sandwiches too.
Okay.
Like a torta. And
yeah, you used to couldn't go. You had to go and not let them stamp your passport if you did go. But now you can go legit.
I think you could go by not. You had to fly somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? Out of the United States, and you could go to Cuba.
And then take a boat.
Directly.
Yeah.
Swim. You had to swim, actually.
And now he's, Mark Cuban's always on the cutting edge of technology. So I asked him about this new app that's out there that could take over Twitter and Facebook. It's called Cyberdust. Now let's talk about good ideas, because you got Instagram out there. You got Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Eh. What is out there for us that are trying to get into the social media world?
A little app called Cyberdust. But, you know, who knew that you would bring that up? That's awesome. Okay, so, you know, on Twitter, you know, if you put something out there and post it, haters come out, right? Everybody gets to see it. It's like screaming in public square, you know, in the middle of town, whatever you're thinking. And everybody comes on because they want to give you a hard time because they get credit for giving you a hard time. With Cyberdust, what it is, it's an app based on privacy. And what ends up happening is you can talk one-to-one like any messaging app, or you can have followers like Twitter, and you can have 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million followers like some people do. But when you post something on Cyberdust, only your followers see it.
Right.
And when they reply, only the person who posted it sees it. So there's no trolls.
Right.
And without having all the haters on there, it just makes it a lot more open and honest, a lot more fun.
And then poof, it disappears.
And then it's gone 30 seconds after you're done.
Forever.
Ever.
How cool is that?
Nice.
Kelly, you got that app. I got that app too.
I do.
Cyberdust, yeah.
Yeah. And he's actually really...
I need to...
Really active on it.
Are you checking Tinder again?
No. She's going to check Cyberdust now.
Yeah, I did something and I need to fix it.
Now let's get to the... Let's get to the awkward.
I'll fix it after.
If Kelly can figure out Cyberdust, anyone can.
I talked to an all-time great.
Yeah, buddy.
Michael Irvin.
Ooh.
But I think I gave him the wrong impression.
Mm-mm. I'm here with Michael Irvin. I feel like I'm on the set of NFL films right now with your voice.
You got that going. I like it.
Hey, Mike, football season's over, so we're going to talk about the good stuff, movies. Yeah. What is your favorite movie of the year that you will think will win the Oscar?
Well, and I haven't seen it yet, but I want to go see it, and I've been hearing a lot about it. I've been hearing about The American Sniper. Now, I say this is, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. You want to go together?
You heard about it?
Yeah.
Well, I would go with you, but after you gave me all that love on my voice, I don't know what your real intentions here.
I'm married, Mike.
No, okay. All right. You're married?
Yeah, with kids.
With a
woman.
Okay. Oh, that's what I need to hear. Okay. Yeah, maybe we can go see the movie.
We can go on a bro date.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, he got really touchy feely after I told him it was okay.
JC, pretty cool. Michael Irvin put you in a headlock.
He did. After I told him I was married with a woman.
Yeah, I love him.
So we're gonna go to the movies today.
That's all right. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going. He said we would.
He said you would.
He's gonna narrate it.
I doubt we will go.
He sits next to you.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to watch a movie with Michael Irvin. He seems like he would talk throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so now it's annoying.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Now you're gonna pass.
I'm gonna
on
retract
a date with
my
Michael
invitation.
Irvin. Oh, whatever. Yeah.
I'm sure he's gonna be heartbroken.
Yeah.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
There's a neon light.
Big Al Mack informed us earlier that he would be attending a news conference that will be full on Blake Shelton.
Yeah, Blake Shelton and Usher are going to be at this charity concert this weekend. Well, tomorrow.
Yeah.
And prior to the concert, they're having a press conference. Now, we've interviewed several celebrities in the past, but I've never done it in a press conference type setting. But our own Psycho Shannon somehow finagled me into this press conference.
Problem with those, Al, is that you need to get his attention so that they pick your question.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier on in the show, we asked you to give us some ideas.
Yeah.
And you came through.
You got some?
Sabine said, you should take Reagan James with you since she was on his team on The Voice this season.
An excellent
he would see
idea.
Her in the good audience idea. And go, hey, Reagan. And then she'd say, I brought Al. Boom.
Huh, good idea. Mm.
Okay. Tyrone says, yell out, Blake Shelton, I'm having your baby.
I like it.
Coming from a guy, it might attract his attention.
I like that one.
Okay.
Cynthia says, record a song singing that you love Blake and play it on a boombox while holding it over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Stephanie.
In your eyes.
Yeah.
Al has plenty of those.
Stephanie
parodies.
Says, why don't you just trip and fall? Make a huge scene. Act like you're hurt.
Mm. My neck, my back.
Yeah. Or you could, Noemi said that you should go dressed as Miranda. I mean, it's up to you.
Black Miranda Lambert.
It'd be scary. Right.
I mean, if I saw you dressed as Miranda, I would definitely want to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Not like hook up talk, but just why. So there you go. Keep
Shannon,
feeding out the ideas.
Psycho Shannon, do you have any idea how many people are going to be at this news press conference?
No
clue. Is it like
clue.
5 people? Is it 500
no.
people?
It'll no. be plenty.
No clue.
Okay, just
It'll
wondering. Okay, I just want to meet him. So
I mean,
you know.
I can tell you this. I remember doing one with Gretchen Wilson when she was huge. She was in her heyday. And there was probably about 50 people in the room.
Okay.
But there was no moderator. It was yell out your question. If she heard you,
you got
were,
it through.
Yeah, you
got
were
through.
Lucky.
Yeah.
So I've never done one like this, but there were about 50 people.
Well, come up with
just be local outlets, so I wouldn't think there would be more than 50 or 100 people.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Okay.
Or just come up with a huge lie, Al. Just a huge lie that'll get his attention.
Okay.
You know, like sometimes you got to come up with lies to get ahead in life.
Sometimes
you
got to do
JC?
That.
What an excellent segue.
I was wondering where he was going, then I realized, okay, I got you now.
Because I was reading this little blurb online yesterday about what a common, prevalent problem it is for people who are trying to hire the HR department or whatever, because people flat out lie on their resumes. They'll lie about previous work experience.
Uh-huh.
They'll lie about how much they made, thinking, well, if I say I'm the
made
truth,
that.
They'll think they don't have to pay me as much. But if I say I made $1 million, which can sometimes backfire on you.
Everyone doctors a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've never lied, but I don't even have a resume. I've been at the same job for so long.
I had a girl that applied when I had my limousine service. She wanted to be my office manager. So she told me that she was an office manager at Sunglass Hut in the mall. Or store manager or whatever it was.
And that was good enough for you, or did you check?
She was hot.
Yeah, that's
See?
All it took.
I mean, that's
she
what most
hot.
People think is I'll just write anything down because they don't really check. If I can just nail the interview and charm them, I've got my way in. Have you ever lied to get a job, JC?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
I didn't lie. Kid thought I lied on my job application because he didn't think I was Mexican.
Yeah.
So he brought a Mexican friend. I know I've told that story. He brought a Mexican friend to the interview to make sure. And he spoke in Spanish to me.
Is he real Mexican?
Yeah. But no, I haven't lied.
No, we're not liars.
No, because I haven't had, I mean, I've been in this job for 6 years.
Right.
And before that, it was a small radio job that they knew I didn't have experience. And then service industry, and I didn't have to, I don't know.
I had to write a resume today. It'd have like 2 jobs on it.
That's good, though.
Friday morning
they
show.
Say it's bad when you have a lot that are less than a year of employment.
Yeah,
you almost
want
to delete
around.
Those. Yeah, that's what a lot of people will do is they'll lie about the length of employment.
Or why they got fired, or even if they got fired. So anyway, I thought it'd be interesting
to
ask some of our listeners, what's the biggest lie you told to get a job?
All right,
let's take some calls on this.
Come on.
Mary, what'd you lie about on your job resume?
Well, I lied about having a felony on my job application.
You lied and told them you did, or you lied and told them you didn't?
that I didn't.
Okay.
And turned out, because you really can't pull up a... like a federal offense, unless it's you do like fingerprints, unless it's through the FBI database. So I thought that they would just run it through the state database, and they ended up doing fingerprints, and it came back.
Yeah.
Girl, what'd you do? Yeah. We have to ask. We don't know you. You can tell.
Yeah.
Done your research.
One drugs.
Oh.
Oh, drugs.
This morning?
No, Al.
You were dealing or something?
No. No, but.
Shush.
Oh, my goodness.
What'd you do?
What'd you do?
It was really aiding and abetting.
Oh,
not okay.
Really. Yeah, but, you know, it's that I work with children, and they are so adamant
right?
on having the perfect person.
Right.
For children. I have a master's degree, and I'm like, you know, I want to be around children, but.
Not mine. Are you high right now?
No, she's not.
Stop it. That's not nice.
She was helping a friend.
Yeah, that was old Mary. This is new Mary.
Did you spend time in prison?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, oh. How much? How long?
It was 13 months, but I did 10 months on good behavior.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was it just awful? Is it just like it is in the movies?
Well, it was at the place where Martha Stewart, while I was there when she was there.
Did you meet Martha?
Oh, did she teach you how to bake some stuff?
No, she kind of kept to herself,
awesome.
But there was a craft class that I was in, and she was in the same craft class, and she gave me some advice on making crafts, but I'm not a handy person, like a crafty person.
We have the most interesting listeners ever.
What was her prison nickname, Mary?
I don't know.
Just Martha?
Yeah, I think it was just Martha.
Yeah. Did you have a single cell or did you have a cellmate?
It wasn't like a cell. It's not a cell there. It's just wide open. It's like a college campus.
Oh, like with bunk beds and stuff, okay. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't nothing like, you know, like the gates or the whatever
yeah.
it's called.
Because yeah, you were violent offenders. Yeah.
They weren't violent.
I've seen that on Locked Up.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk right out and go home if you wanted to, but
yeah. I wouldn't advise that.
Yeah, you get in trouble for
that.
With. Yeah.
Wow, Mary, that was interesting. Thank you for that call.
Martha Stewart taught you crafts in prison.
That's
I'm gonna go ahead and nominate you for the most interesting call of the week.
Yeah.
Right there.
Wow. She was in prison with Martha
Our listeners
Stewart.
Listeners have way more interesting lives than we do.
She does. Sherry, what'd you get busted for on your job resume?
I actually unintentionally lied on my GPA, and they actually, they requested my transcript. They went all out, and I actually had three separate colleges because I had taken some courses for different colleges,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted my cumulative GPA, so I gave them the cumulative for all three. And they only wanted the cumulative for my main college, but they didn't state that.
Uh-huh.
And I literally did not get the job because of that.
What job were you going for?
Yeah, what were you trying to do?
It wasn't even like, you know, working for the government or FBI or anything. It was an underwriter for an insurance company.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, picky.
It was just an honest mistake.
I didn't even think they would look up your yeah. GPA.
See, and
thanks,
they figure if
Sherry.
She lie about that, she'll lie about
oh,
anything.
Yeah, right?
Especially in insurance, I guess. Jay.
Yes.
What'd you lie about, buddy?
Well, the previous listener, Mary, kind of stole my thunder, but mine was also because of an arrest I got to. It was my first job out of college, and I was going to be a financial planner.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I told them I had never had any arrests or convictions, and I figured I'd be fine because I thought they only checked convictions. Well, they didn't. They checked the arrest as well, and seeing that it was basically a violent crime, even though it's what they called it. It was a felony. It was a second-degree battery charge for a fight I got to in college.
Oh, it was college and, days.
Yeah, so that they were pretty much like, I had already went through the whole process, went through the whole deal. I'd already spent a bunch of money to get my license and everything so I could do, you know, the mutual fund thing and everything, and then boom.
But most importantly, were you locked up with anybody famous, Jay?
Yeah, come on.
I was not locked up. Thank God. Mine, I just learned a valuable lesson is when you get something like that and you get arrested, get it expunged.
Yeah, yeah. Did you win the fight?
I did win the fight.
All right, good job.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.